Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3. You are familiar with this verse that we're concentrating on today, and our brother Patrick has read this passage to you as we began our service today. This scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, I'd like for us to stand as we read God's word. Would you join me as we read? And we're going to read 8 verses and then go back and read some middle verses. Would you join me in that? Scripture says in Proverbs, and of course this is Solomon who's writing to his son with God's wisdom to show him and to be with him, to give him not just knowledge, but the ability to apply knowledge, which is wisdom. He said, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck." In other words, keep them so close they'd be like a necklace. Isn't that cool? "Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." And all God's people said, amen. Father, our prayer this morning together is, would you apply the knowledge of the scripture, our reading of it, our familiarity with it, to be more than just knowledge, but God, would you apply it to our thoughts, our walk, our very being, Lord, so that it ceases just to be knowledge, and truly, Father, it becomes wisdom in our hearts as we obey your word. This we ask in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you be seated? Some of these verses are some of our favorites. It's the favorite of many. I wonder, is there anybody out there, if I'd have said, hey, what's your favorite verse? You probably would have pulled out Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. A number of you would be. That's a lot of people's favorite verse and the verses of many. But you know, did you realize that this isn't just a rich truth? Because God's word is a rich truth. Amen? It's a rich truth, but it's also a very rich promise. It's not just a truth from God, it's a promise from God. This is a truth and a promise directed to the one who will diligently study God's word, the one who will listen to God's law and not just study it and not just listen to it, but then follow it up with obedience. You know, there is a difference, amen? You know, you can tell your child, go clean your room. And if they stand up and go to their room, it's encouraging. But it's discouraging when you go back there and find it's just as much a mess as it was before. Folks, there's a difference between saying and going and actually being obedient to the word of God. Today, my hope and my prayer is as we break this down into just familiar passages that we not only hear it, but that we apply it to our hearts and lives. Look at this again with me. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verse 5 and 6. Are you with me? Find it again if you have your word open there. And it's on the board above. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. As a matter of fact, since it's up there, why don't we read along together? Will you do that with me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. This is God's word. You've said it. You could probably have said it by memory, but today what I want you to do is to say it by heart and to know it by heart. Trust in the Lord. What does that mean? Solomon advised his son to live a life trusting God. Now, why did he do that? First and foremost, he knew that it was going to be good for his son. Amen. You trust God and you know that you're going to have a blessed life. But he did that because he had already found out in his life that God the Father was worthy to be trusted. Listen, I don't know about you, but there are some things that people say, oh, try it, you'll like it. And it didn't turn out very well. Try this, it'll bless you. No. Listen, there have been things that I have tried that people said they were just wonderful and great, and they didn't turn out so good. I know this, that when I trust God, I can depend on his worthiness to be trusted. He is always seeking my good. He is always seeking my best. He is always seeking good things. We're going to serve and trust somebody. You remember this? Some of us are old enough to remember the Bob Dylan song. You're going to serve somebody. Listen, you are, and it is so very true. You are going to serve somebody, even if it's yourself. I'm going to tell you this also. You're going to trust somebody, even if it's yourself. If you trust nobody else in the world, it's going to come down to whom you drew trust. And that would be, if you don't trust anyone else, you're trusting yourself. Solomon says here that you consciously need to put your trust in God. Switch it from self, switch it from world, switch it from whatever family or being you want to put it into, and transfer your trust to God. Do you realize that's the only way that you can be saved? Is to transfer your trust from yourself to God, to say, I can't get there on my own. I can't do enough good. I don't deserve the good. I certainly have not done anything to earn it. I have transferred my trust from myself of getting me to heaven and doing good by giving it to God. That's the first trust of God that we have. And it continues from there. Consciously change the person that you're trusting to be the Lord. Now, I got to admit, sometimes my trust is kind of low. Maybe you've been there. There have been times that my trust has been kind of low, and you might think, well, Pastor, I've never heard you preach and you seemed low. Listen, you know what? It's a whole lot easier to say I'm trusting God than to actually walk the walk. Amen? Am I the only one? Well, good. I'm glad we're all guilty. It kind of puts us in the same boat. We all need the help of God, and we all need to realize that we need God's help to do what we're saying to do. Without God's Holy Spirit, you can't do it anyway. Call on God. Call on God's Holy Spirit. I admit sometimes my trust is low, but how does it get that way? Let me tell you how it gets that way. It gets that way when I take my eyes off God. It gets that way when I trust in the wrong thing, when I'm trusting in my own ability, when I'm trusting in the church, when I'm trusting in the law, when I'm trusting on what I can do instead of trusting the Holy Spirit of God. In all things, whenever I take my eyes off of Him, my trust level gets low because I'm trusting in the wrong thing. My trust level gets low when my confidence level gets low. Isn't that true? When your confidence is down, your trust isn't there. You ever play the game? Catch me? Come on. Anybody? Listen, it's a team building concept. Right? It's a team building concept where you learn to trust your peers. And they do this sometimes in workshops for offices. And they have somebody stand up on a table or on a patio or whatever it has to be. And they cross their arms and they say, don't put your arms out. Your team is going to catch you. And they fall into their arms and they're supposed to learn to trust each other that way. Listen, there's some folks I'm not going to do that with. First of all 240 pounds of this, some of you couldn't catch. Oh, you didn't know I weighed that much? Or that little? Yeah, rabbit. You see, my confidence level gets low, or my trust level gets low when my confidence level gets low, and my confidence level gets low when I'm depending on unworthy things. The world, people, stuff, my own ability, or should I say my own lack of ability. My job is not worthy of my trust. How many of you are depending on your job to get you through? People are seldom worthy of your trust. And I'm going to tell you, no matter how wonderful they are, no matter how loving they are, sooner or later, people fail us. Amen? There's only one who never fails. There's only one who never leaves. There's only one who never fails us, and that is the Lord our God. My job is not worthy. People are not worthy. And my own judgment is not worthy. Folks, only God is worthy of my full trust. And when I put my faith and trust in God, I gain more confidence. And as I gain more confidence by doing what God tells me to do, and it actually works out according to God's will, then I have more trust. You see, it's one of these things, you got to have it. You know, they say, I can't get a job because I don't have experience. And I don't have experience because I... Listen, the wonderful thing about the Lord our God is He will bless your smallest efforts of trust. It's called faith. And when God our Savior said, if you will just have the faith of a mustard seed, the tiniest of the seeds of all the herbs, he said, I will bless it, and I will bless it greatly. Folks, we need to learn to trust God. He is worthy of our trust. And all God's people said, amen. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart. If trust in God is to be true, it's got to be complete. Amen? It's got to be complete. To half trust God and to half trust yourself is failure to trust God at all. You know, God, I'll do this and I'll do this and you'll do that, and God, I'm gonna trust you, but I'm gonna do this as well. Listen, you know, there's a difference between saying that we trust and we kind of trust. You either trust God or you don't. Now, I'm going to tell you, this thought troubles a lot of people, and it probably should, because as imperfect beings, and we are, as an imperfect being, it is impossible for us to trust God perfectly. Let me tell you why. You're a sinful person, you have an earthly mind, and you're separated from the full Spirit of God. And when we have that, sin in our life keeps us from doing everything we could. Now, we have our moments, amen? Thank God for that. We have our moments, but there are times when we just don't trust God enough, even when we love the Lord, even when we are doing everything we can to follow Him. And it bothers us a bit that this scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I mean, the scripture just gave us a command, did it not? Trust the Lord with all our heart. Listen, it's impossible for us to trust the Lord perfectly in this heart and life. But folks, let me tell you something. It's going to help you to know what this passage is really saying from Solomon, as Solomon is trying to tell his son what to do. Solomon isn't describing a perfect trust that says you can never have any flaw in your trust and get to the point where you never have any doubt and you never have any difficulty in that. Always have a perfect trust in God. He said, listen, he's not saying that's the way it has to be. He said that's where it needs to be headed. Are you with me? Listen, nobody runs a marathon after their first day of training. Nobody. You've got to start somewhere. And you lean on the Lord, and He is able to give you the ability to trust Him perfectly when you lean on Him. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment, are we not? A heart that is all in for Jesus isn't perfect, but it's striving to be. Folks, let me just put it this way. You've got to try. You've got to try. A heart that is trusting in God isn't using its own way, because a heart that's using its own way is rejecting God's way. It doesn't matter if you're saying with your lips, trust in the Lord, I trust in the Lord, I trust in the Lord. If you're not leaning on Him and trusting the Lord, you're rejecting the Lord. Because if you're not taking His will and His way, you've turned away from Him. A heart that seeks God, a heart that wants God, does all it can to follow God. And it also calls on God to say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help my unbelief. Help my falling away. It has a desire to follow God, and it seeks God. That's the childlike faith that puts itself in Father's hands. You know, I'll tell you, no adult in their right mind is going to come up here, stand on this podium right here with me standing down here, and I'm going to say, jump, I'll catch you. You're going to be just like me. You're going to have your doubts, are you not? You're going to come full off at me? Listen, depending on who it is, I don't know if I'm going to try or not. But you know what? When my boys were little, they'd come flying at you. Don't you dare clap your hands and open them up. They're coming. I did that one time with Derek when he was standing on the counter, and I patted my hands and I looked away. Too late. God is always standing there. God is always at work around you. God is always working with you, for you. And how many times do you hear God say to your heart, come on, I've got you. And yet we cower back, and we hold back, and maybe we put a foot out, and that's what I would do if you're going to try to catch me. You sure you got me? God wants a full-on jump, folks. There are times that he says, dive in. And when God says dive in, you know what you need to do? Head first. It troubles us sometimes. Because you see, to trust him means that we must believe that he is able to do what he says he's able to do. Do you believe? You see, when you don't trust God, you know what you're saying? God, you can't. And God, you won't. And God, you're not able. And I know some of you say, oh, that's not what I mean when I'm not trusting. Yes, it is. You don't love the Lord enough to trust him. Folks, we have got to get to the point where we either believe it and we trust him, or we're saying we're rejecting God and who he is. He is able to do what he will. We have to trust that he knows what is best and that he truly loves us and we him, and that we trust him. And when God says jump, we just start jumping and then say, is that high enough? God wants us to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Man, not easy, but that's the call. Then he says, lean not unto your own understanding. There's a tough one, because you see, my understanding says, God, I'm pretty heavy at times. Are you sure you've got enough strength to hold me up when I jump? God, are you sure you can cover this? Lord, are you sure you've got this? It's hard not to trust our own understanding, but it is a mistake to trust our own understanding. Because by doing so, I put myself in a position to fail. I put myself in a position to fail before I ever start. I haven't even started and I fail because I'm trusting myself. That's the blind leading the blind. Amen? Who should we trust? The mouse that's wandering around in the maze, or the master who's looking above, who's all-powerful and all-knowing? Where do you really put yourself? And when you don't trust God, you're trusting the mouse. You're trusting yourself. Lean not, it says. Now, this means to put away our own understanding. In other words, just put your own understanding from yourself. You know, we think we know so much. Come on. It's true. We're just a little arrogant. We know so much. This is the day in the information age. We know so much more than the people before us. And especially if you're a teenager, you know so much more than everybody else. Listen, now we can't make fun of them too badly, because you see, it seems to carry on into adulthood. We get a little knowledge. And you know what the Bible says we do? We puff up. That is such a great metaphor. We puff up. Now, when I was younger, I'm going to tell you, I used to be skinny. I mean, very skinny. And when it came time, you know, to put on the football uniform, yeah, I put it on. I kind of looked like a toothpick with a helmet on, I know. But when I got there, about the only way that it looked like I had anything was to kind of swell up a little bit. Are you with me? Oh, come on. You've seen the guys do it. Throw their elbows out and walk like this. Now, some people have big enough muscles, that's just the way they have to stand. It wasn't me. But I puffed up with the uniform. Listen, that's exactly what he's talking about here. When the word says that we let knowledge puff us up, we get a false puff, which means we are full of air. We puff up with knowledge thinking we've got it all. I know the truth. It's not enough to have the knowledge and the truth, folks. Is to apply it rightly as well. God's word says, don't lean on your own understanding. I put myself in that position to fail. Lean not. We think we know so much, and yet we realize how little we know when we actually trust God with all our heart. And when we trust God with all our heart, it means that we've decided to put away our own knowledge and our own abilities and our own understanding. We put away the world's wisdom. We put away the family wisdom. We put away our own wisdom and our own thoughts and our own will. And we say, God, what do you want with this? How do you want to apply this? And when we get there, folks, that's when God begins to work. Not when we start applying what we think we know, but we choose to understand what God gives to us. And we choose to trust God and his understanding. You know that Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says this, "He who trusts his own heart is a fool." You know, you don't find the Bible calling somebody a fool very often, but he's saying whoever trusts his own heart is a fool. Whoever trusts his own mind, his own abilities. Let me ask you, how often have we ever said or done something because we thought it was the right thing and then later regretted it? Well, I'm glad nobody else has either. How many times in our life do we say, "I'll never do that again"? How often have we regretted something later? You know, just because you know something doesn't mean you're supposed to say it. Just because you think that you've got all this knowledge doesn't mean you're supposed to tell everybody else how to do it. Listen, you better seek the heart of God, because there are times that you, maybe even you know the truth, or maybe you don't know the truth, and yet if you're not giving it to God to be applied in His way, if it doesn't match up, you're in trouble. That's why we seek wisdom from God, not just knowledge. God will help you to apply it. Lean not unto your own understanding. Then it says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. This means to honor and acknowledge God in everything you do. You know what that means? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Do you know what that actually means? What it means is, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. It means, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. It actually means, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Are you with me yet? Our problem is that we like to acknowledge me. We like to acknowledge ourself and our accomplishments. This literally means that instead of trying to honor and acknowledge ourselves, we acknowledge God in what we do. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things we do that God is not in it. We need to be very careful that we make sure that when we say, "Well, God said that," you better make sure God said it. Literally, this is a choice to invite God into everything that you do. Everything that you do. It means to practice the presence of God. You know what that means? Listen, my dad, as I was walking out, especially when I was a teenager, he would say these things that I was going out and I was driving on my own, headed somewhere, whether it was a date or whether it was an activity, whatever it happened to be. As I'm walking out the door, he would say, "Gary, take God with you." I thought He was everywhere, Dad. Of course He was everywhere, but you know what He was saying. He was saying, acknowledge the presence of the Lord with you. Everywhere you go and everything that you do. You know, we might act a little different if we actually knew that Jesus was sitting in the car with us. Amen? We might actually act different if we actually knew that Jesus was sitting right beside us at work, in whatever situation that we're in. Scripture says, invite God into everyday life and conduct. The everyday, the regular, the mundane things. And when we trust Him and acknowledge Him in those everyday things and in those tiny things, it is natural to do so in the big things. Have you ever had somebody that seemed to be able to take care of the everyday stuff, but when something big happens, they fall apart? Are you with me? Maybe that was you. Listen, when you learn to trust God in the daily things, in the daily walk, you learn to trust Him in the difficulties too. I remember a young man by the name of David who stepped before the army of Israel because they would do nothing with the taunts of Goliath. And he said, "How can you stand here and let this man defy the Lord our God and insult our God? I will go out and fight him." You know what the king said? "Are you stupid? You're young. You're even a pretty boy." He's young and ruddy. "What can you do?" What did David say? "I don't know, but I think I'll try." No, he said, "Listen, when I was out taking care of the sheep, I trusted God, and I took care of the lion. I took care of the bear. And this Philistine is no different than any other beast before God. I'm going to turn it over to God and watch what God does. And that's why it made so much difference that when Goliath said, what are you going to treat me like a dog, you pretty little boy? And David said today, did he say, I know. He said, today God is going to deliver you into my hands. Why did he say that? Why was he able to say that? Because he trusted God every day before that. It makes a huge difference, dear people. In all your ways, acknowledge him. This means not just to trust him in your walk, but to seek his counsel in everything. Have you ever made a decision without God and regretted it? Every time. You know, making a decision without God is like walking through your house in the middle of the night without turning the lights on. And your wife changed the furniture around. You know, we get up in the dark and we think we know our way. I'm going to tell you, isn't it wise to just turn a light on so that you have a lamp for your feet, a light for your path? Isn't that what God's word's saying? Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 says, the lamp of the body is the eye. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, if you open your eyes in the light, your foot knows to go here or to go there or to avoid this or avoid that. Your hand knows not to be sticking into that light plug, etc. You know what to do because your eye gets the light for the whole body. In the same way, the scripture is telling us then that if we will trust the Lord and we will watch the Lord and we will hear from the Lord, the whole body from the mind and the heart gets its light, and it knows where to step and it knows where not to step, even in the logical times. I got to tell you, so there are times that God says to do things and we just don't understand it. Amen. I got to tell you about one this week from me and one from a young man from our church. You see, earlier this week, I got mad at my doctor. And don't you go tell my doctor I got mad at her. But I got mad at my doctor because I called for 3 straight days and left a message on the 4th one. Still didn't get a call back because I wanted to take with me an extra prescription to Israel just in case I got sick. Are you with me? I mean, hey, I'm a planner. So I was getting there. No call, no call, no call, no call, no call. And I call back in just a little bit of irritation. I guess I need to set up a meeting with my doctor. I need another appointment. So I make an appointment, and on Wednesday morning, I go into my doctor, and my doctor finds out, you know, and she says, are you okay? I said, no, I got a headache. Well, you still having a headache? Yep. You had a headache last time you were in here? Yep. Well, that's bad today, too. She takes my blood pressure, and she goes, guess where your headache's from? Way too high. So my doctor, by taking my blood pressure, changes my medication, and you know I haven't had a headache since Thursday. First time in 6 months. Now listen, that don't bother you, but the lady I live with is very proud of that. My staff is very glad that I'm a happier man. You know, I really did not want to go back in, but I'm going to tell you that the Lord took care of me. What if things had just gotten a little more stressful on this trip and my blood pressure had stayed up there where it was? And I tell you what, she said that I was stroke worthy. Let me just put it that way. And now, the last time I checked it, it was about 120 over 80. Whew. That's good stuff. Yeah, you're clapping. Let me tell you another one. You see, just this week, we have a young man by the name of Jordan Sacchieri. He stood up here several times and sang for us. Anybody remember Jordan? He is over in London. Is that right, London? He was in London. Now he had made a trip to London. How many of you heard about an activity or a problem that happened on London Bridge this week? What? A stabbing. 2 people died and others were wounded. Is that correct? Did you know that it happened less than 50 feet from where Jordan was standing? And just 60 seconds before it all occurred, he crossed the street to the other side. Now, why he did, I'm not sure that he even knows. He just did. And right across the street from him, these stabbings occurred. Literally across the street. You know, sometimes God just says, why don't you move places? And you're thinking, why would I want to move places? I don't want to cross the street. Listen, if the urging of God tells you to cross the street, or if you actually get down to the point in your life where you say, God, where am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to be there? Am I supposed to drive the red car or the blue car? Does it really matter? Sometimes it does. And so we need to say, God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Because there are times that God will protect you just by having you cross the street. Sometimes he'll protect you because your doctor won't return your call. Sometimes you'll have a flat tire so that the 18-wheeler that ran the red light down the road doesn't run over you. You take it from there. I'm going to tell you, there are so many times that we just need to stop and say, God, thank you for this trial. It seems to be something slowing me down. It is a problem to go in to see my doctor. God, I'm going to cross this street. You know, whatever it happens to be, why don't we just give it all to God? Lean not into your own understanding. Let God lead. Now, there are times that people, tell me, that, Pastor, I wish that I could do that. I just wish that I could set my mind on God and the rest of me would follow. I just really like to do that, but I'm having trouble with that. Let me tell you what you need to do. Are you ready if you're having trouble with that? Do it. Do something. Don't just sit there. Do something. And when God says to sit there, don't do something, stand there. You've got to try. So many people say, oh, Lord, I would love it if. You know what? They don't try. You've got to try. If you don't even try to trust God, you won't. You've got to start somewhere. Are you going to give up before you even start? Oh, well, I could never get there. And then you're right. Ask God for help and take your first step. God wants you to take a step to him and for him. One of the biggest questions that people ask me, I'm talking about Christians, how do I find God's will for me? Listen, I love what Henry Blackaby said about that. He said, you ask the wrong question, you'll always get the wrong answer. That's not the right question. The right question is not, what is God's will for me? The right question is, what is God's will, period. And quit trying to design everything around you. What is God's will? For him to be glorified. That sure answers a lot of the problems, doesn't it? How do I then begin to find God's will? It starts with this, a desire to find it. You got to want it. And if you don't want it, you won't find what you're not seeking for. If you don't even try, you don't want it. Ask for God's help. Ask for God's help. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then we have the promise. And he will direct your path. You see, this is the way of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And then God gives his promise following that. He will direct your path. We acknowledge him in our ways, our lives, our actions, our beliefs. We actually try. And we don't give excuses. Oh, well, you know, I'm just human. Well, I don't have time to pray. Listen, you make time for what you want to do. I got in a lot of trouble this weekend from one of my daughters-in-law. Miss Ping told me this week, she said, you need to lose some weight. You need to exercise. You need to eat better. And, you know, she didn't say it in one of those condemning ways. Are you with me? She didn't go, you're fat. She said, we want to keep you around. My wife's been telling me that for years, but for some reason when my daughter-in-law say it, I listen a little better. But understand this. When we actually listen and start trying to do something about it, God will bless those actions. We acknowledge him And God responds by directing our path. He gives us what is right before Him. And when we do what's right before Him, you're going to find out real quick, it is pleasing to us. Because when God is happy with us, we're happy. The circumstances might be difficult, but you're going to have joy in the midst of it. I would rather have joy in the midst of a trial than I had to be miserable in the best of circumstances. More than a few people are afraid to have God direct their path. Shall I say that more than a few people are afraid to have God direct their path? They would a whole lot rather direct themselves. Fundamentally, what that means is they just don't trust God. They're not trusting the Lord. They're trusting themselves. They would rather find their own way and their own will rather than God's, which means that they are not surrendered to God. They're surrendered to themselves. What do I want? When do I want it? And I'm going to tell you this. They're going to be miserable people if they belong to God. Because you cannot be in disobedience with the Lord and be happy and have joy. You just can't do it. You see, a heart surrendered to God will delight in God's direction. And God's direction will bless you more than you could possibly even imagine. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's right up here on the board. You see it on the overhead? One of the most frequently asked questions by believers is, how can I know the will of God? I said that with you just a moment ago. Solomon gave his son a very good answer. He said, you see it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and then He will direct your path. How can I know the Lord? You need to listen. How can I know where God wants me to go? You have to listen. You have to put yourself in a place to hear, and you have to keep yourself in a place where you can be obedient. It's awfully hard to be used of God when you're wandering in a far country, when He wants you right here. I mean, the only reason you should be in a far country is that God led you there, amen? Decide to put your trust in God. Decide not to trust your own understanding, but give priority to God's revealed word. And when you give priority to God's revealed word, folks, you're going to get God's instruction. You're going to know His way. Decide to acknowledge God and honor Him in all you do. So in other words, when you get the right answer, follow it. Don't turn it down. Verse 7 closes this out very well. Look at verse 7. Do you have your Bible with you? Open your Bible back up to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Here it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And you know what that very next verse says? Do not be wise in your own eyes. I'm going to tell you, there's our problem. Lord, I know where I'm going. Do you remember the story about the little child who was mauled by the lion at the zoo? It'd been years ago. Years ago, a grandfather took his granddaughter to the zoo. And they'd been to the lions. He's walking away, and she pulls her hand out, and he says, hold my hand, sweetheart, so I can guide you. She says, I'm going to hold my own hand. And she ran ahead to the lions, jumped through the barrier, and came up to the edge. The lion reached through and mauled that little girl. You may go look up the story. Been years ago. Her quote to her grandfather, the last thing she said to him is, I will hold my own hand. Listen, you want to be mauled by the world? You want to be mauled by the lion who seeks to devour you? You just hold your own hand instead of the Lord's. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Quit deciding how smart you think you are and seek the heart of God. Quit reveling in how much you think you know. And humble yourself before God and say, God, what do I do with what You've given me to know? Seek the heart of God. Have you ever noticed when you seek God's way, He reveals it? When you seek Him with all your heart, God's word says you'll find it. You'll find it. It's usually our own will and own way that destroy it because we take our eyes off of God. You know, a very wise man told me once many years ago that if you're really seeking the way of God and the will of God, the very first thing you need to do is have no will of your own. Because so many times we come to God's table and say, God, this is what you want for me, right? Right? This is where you want me to go, isn't it? Isn't it? Well, God, this is the way I'm going. Follow me, God, and bless me as I go. Isn't that us? Instead of saying, God, where do you want me? Before you ever ask God for direction, have no will of your own. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the hardest things to do, folks, but it is one of the best things that I've learned. If I am really seeking the heart of God before I ever go to Him in prayer to say, God, what do you want me to do? I go to Him in prayer and say, God, would you remove my will? I even have people pray for me for that very thing. Because I got to tell you, Gary Ladd can be stubborn. He can be difficult. So what this means is that you're stopping yourself from trusting in yourself and your own way, and you put your faith and trust in God. Not in your own brilliance, but in God. Decide right up front, you are going to acknowledge God in everything you do. And what a difference that's going to make. Say it with me one more time. Would you just quote with me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Would you pray with me? Father, there's so much need in my heart to listen to You, Lord, and not to myself. There is so much need in my heart to turn from my own knowledge and instead to hold to Your wisdom. God, would You help us as a church? Would You help us as a body? Would You help us as individuals, Lord, to seek Your heart and Your will with all of our hearts? Because, God, it is our need and it is our desire for You to direct our path. Can you say amen to that? God, direct our path. As individuals, as a pastor, as a church, direct our path.